detective. Thrill me.
Thanks for joining us again. Early Van Damme, Jared. Cyborg from 1989. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'd actually never seen this film.
No, neither had I.
I wish I'd have left it that way. Should've, yeah, if I'm being honest, but let's not spoil it.
Adam, in this case,
let's not spoil it. Okay. But before we get to that, let's run through a quick what we've been watching. I've got a very short list.
Mine's long.
I went for comedies.
Yeah.
I went for a Kevin Hart comedy on Netflix called Night School.
Yeah.
It had its moments, but fuck. There wasn't really much about the actual Night School portion. I was kind of, like, it's an hour and 20 in, and I'm like, well, we haven't really been to class.
Yeah.
I was kind of a bit, it was a bit kind of nothing much. I also went back and watched a comedy from the 80s with Goldie Hawn in it called Wildcats.
Mm-hmm.
Also had young Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
And young Woody Harrelson. I believe my wife seems to think we saw a small amount of Wesley Snipes' junk as well.
Oh, well.
I could not confirm. Seems
like you were both entertained then.
Yeah. Oh, I think she was more entertained. Certainly for longer, Jared. But Wildcats is all right. It's not bad. I mean, it's got like classic 80s kind of like, yeah, the whole thing about women can't do anything basically is how it's all portrayed.
Yeah.
But, you know, Goldie Hawn's always, good to watch, and she's, you know, she's kind of got that very good comic sort of style.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, she's hanging around with Kurt Russell.
How can you go wrong?
Yeah, you can't go wrong. And the last one was I watched the 5th episode of Quiet on Set.
Yep.
Which is probably the least enjoyable episode. It's kind of like a wrap-up episode where they kind of get some of the people who spoke in the first 4 episodes on the couch talking with, like, a host.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit kind of – and they sort of have – we're playing these never-before-seen scenes, and I was kind of like, well, didn't really shed a lot more light than what we already had.
Yeah.
So it's not really important. The first 4 episodes more interesting.
Did you happen to venture onto YouTube and watch Dan Schneider's 20-minute –
No, but part of that is in there.
Yeah. I watched it.
He comes across poorly, I would suggest.
Well, I mean, he just set it up with one of the people that used to work on those shows to just give him softball sort of questions. Yeah. And
It's weak.
It's weak. It's, I don't know how that guy worked for so damn long.
The most interesting part about that is it's clear that he ran a toxic environment.
Oh, right? Totally.
But The Drake Bell, the one who was actually abused,
yeah,
he says, he basically said, look, it's not good to hear all that stuff about him, but I can only go by how he treated me, and he was the only one who looked out for me.
Mm.
You know, so at the very least, he's not involved in any of that.
It's hard to go with that, but he was bordering on it.
Like, yeah.
You see the way he would run up and hug people. Yeah, and
but also the way the jokes were very, very adult.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, borderline.
Yeah, very
you
much
had
so.
To be really careful, and I feel like Nickelodeon wasn't paying much attention here.
No.
Which is disappointing.
They were letting him run the show, which is where he's probably coming under fire because he did run.
Yes, he ran these shows. He wrote them.
And, you know, he puts his hand up in this interview and says, I had people above me that had to approve all the jokes and stuff, but then you look at it and you say, well, did they? Because it looks like you've had carte blanche with a lot of this stuff.
Who's approving the jokes?
Why was
people above him? I mean, at what level?
Well, that's the questions that people are kind of are saying he's fucking just passing the buck.
Yeah, I think that's a passing the buck measure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, it's an interesting series to watch. I also capped off a couple of episodes of Files of the Unexplained.
Ugh.
Holy shit. There's another one about this lake. And at least I'll give the episode some credit. They basically just debunk half of it.
Yeah.
Talk to this one bloke and he's like, of course there's people fucking dying in the lake. Half of them are pissed. They're not wearing a bloody life jacket. Like, what do you think's going on?
Yep. Like, yep.
Not very good.
It's probably similar to Sasquatch killing people in heavy sort of marijuana growing territory. Sasquatch picking up a gun and sounds reasonable.
Sasquatch is currently employed by Pablo Escobar. What? Good one.
I've been searching that shit for a year and a half trying to get a look at it, and I can't. I'm desperate.
But that was it for me, Jared.
Okay.
You obviously had a lengthy
strap
list.
Strap in.
Here we go. This will be good because you've been on holidays.
I have. And I got a little bit of downtime to just kind of
to
dig
waste.
Dig into a couple of movies. So I finished off Critters 3 and 4. Not quite as good, but I still think the premise is kind of fun.
Is that Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, DiCaprio was in 3. 4 actually had, 4 had Brad Dourif, Angela Bassett, and my mate Radu from the Subspecies series.
Don't put his fucking name in amongst that.
Deserves to be there. Deserved mention. But yeah, I did the whole bounty hunter aspect that they're kind of, you know, that the bounty hunters are chasing these things down, trying to eradicate them basically. It takes a little bit of a twist in 3 and 4, but still kind of cool. 4 took it into space before Jason did.
And before Leprechaun did as well.
Leprechaun. But they were all right. Watch the Toxic Avenger again.
Oh, yeah.
It was the latest Joe Bob.
Yeah.
So revisited.
That would have been interesting. There would have been some interesting information in that one too.
A few bits and pieces. I didn't realise until now that, remember in the diner scene where
he rips the guy's arm off and beats him over the head with it?
And they shoot the dog and all that sort of stuff. The guy with the black and red face paint is Patrick Kilpatrick.
Oh, yes. I believe from Scatter Cop.
He walked off the set.
Oh, because he was fucking...
He was disgusted. What was going on? So he finished up, walked off.
Oh, Patrick, I'll give you some... Look, you know what? I'll give Patrick some credit for at least having his own fucking morals.
Yeah,
me, of course, I'd titter and laugh at that shit. Shooting the dog, I never enjoyed that bit.
No, I will say that.
There was no point, no need for that.
But as Joe Bob mentioned a few times, he kind of said this was Troma's thing, right? Like you think you can't do it on film. Well, they'll do it to kind of get eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
And Lloyd Kaufman was on there. He was pretty funny. I think his motivation for that really does just seem to be business, of which he still doesn't do a great deal. But it was quite amusing when, you know, Joe Bob's bringing up, you went to Yale and all this sort of stuff. And he goes, yeah, you know, it's up. You know, when you come out of Yale and then you go on to, you get into the finer things and then you later in your career you make Shakespeare shitstorm. It was kind of funny. Yeah.
Not exactly a great use of a fucking Yale degree, is it?
But yeah, it was pretty funny. So I think we've mentioned before we both read The Last Action Heroes.
Yes.
I'm chipping away. Like I put it on the back burner for a while, went to some other things and came back. I got into the chapter about 4 A's into comedy, which was piss funny because it was basically saying Arnie was good at that. Arnie kind of was happy to take the piss out of himself. Sly tried to follow suit and just couldn't. He was too super serious. And, you know, and then, of course, the whole stop on my mum will shoot where, you know, Arnie kind of almost
told him,
fucking baited him into taking it.
Sylvester. I mean,
Arnie put the whispers out that Arnold's interested
in that
this.
Movie where he wears a fucking diaper. Like, I mean, you don't need Arnie baiting you. Like, you read the script and then you go, this is not for me.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's talking about when they made, was it Oscar? And they were just like, just couldn't take himself, couldn't not take himself seriously, which affected all the bits and pieces. And then, you know, it says, oh, Sly was telling Ivan Reitman, you didn't bring your A game and all this sort of shit as a producer. And Reitman says, little did he know, but a month out from release, I was telling the head of the studio, we got to can this shit. Because Sly can't, it's not good.
This is the thing, though. Sly can do all right comedically in things like Tango and Cash or Demolition Man. He's been quite tidy in those. He just couldn't do comedy. Like broad comedy was not where he could be.
No. And I think you get the sense out of the book that Arnie was always at ease with this shit and didn't really mind making a bit of a buffoon of himself, Whereas Sly was always fucking on edge about wanting to be taken seriously and, you know, had those periods where he didn't want to go back to Rambo and Rocky because he didn't want to be known as that until it became everything else is flopping.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit, I'll go back to the well.
Yeah.
Then he grew to love him. But, yeah, there's always this pained artist thing in that book.
Yes,
whereas Arnie was always built for it.
But Arnie was never an artist. He was a businessman.
No, but I think it comes down to, I mean, I've always given Sly credit for being a bit of a savvy businessman.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and I think he was to a point, but I think this sort of crystallises that Arnie might have been better at that.
Yeah.
Arnie might have been more in touch with what people wanted. Arnie might have been more in touch with, I'm confident as the fucking, the biggest man in the action movie, so I'll take a couple of, I'll go in and, you know, into these movies and I'll come up with jokes about myself.
Yes.
You know?
And he didn't have a problem with taking the piss.
Yeah. So in a roundabout way, I tried to dig a couple up. Funnily enough, I couldn't find Stop on my Mumble Shoot anywhere.
Yeah, fuck.
I think Sly's burned all copies. But I was able to easily access Twins. So I watched that.
Great movie.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun. Following that, I watched I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Oh, yeah.
The Wayans brothers kind of take on blaxploitation movies and stuff like that. It was pretty funny.
Hmm.
I'd never seen that one. It was funny to check out. It's not as out and out fucking. It's almost not spoof, like Scary Movie and that sort of stuff that they ended up in. It's more kind of, there's a bit of a tone of, well, we're going to make one of these movies just with a few laughs in it. So there's spoof elements, but nowhere near to the level of Scary Movie and that sort of thing. It was kind of fun. I watched Braindead with the two Bills, Paxton and Pullman.
Oh.
Together.
I thought you were saying like the Peter Jackson.
No, not the Peter Jackson. Because
that's
one,
much
one.
Better.
Yeah. I'd heard this one was pretty cool. I saw it pop up on a couple of podcasts and things like
Paxton and Pullman.
Paxton and Pullman in the same movie. Underrated things, you know, written by. Fuck, I've forgotten his name, but a fella that had a bunch of good episodes of Twilight Zone and that sort of thing. So I thought, fuck, this could be onto a winner here.
How was it?
I was not onto a winner.
No, you were not.
It wasn't terrible, but it just kind of meandered.
Even Paxton and Pullman couldn't get you through.
No, even they couldn't get me over the line.
Christ.
Couple of Aussie-related ones.
Hmm?
Lake Mungo.
Oh, that's a fantastic film.
Yeah,
I
not
really
bad.
I really enjoyed
bad.
Lake Mungo.
I think all in all, the story parts of it could have used a bit of work, but the fucking atmosphere the whole way through.
Yeah, it's really
good. Really fucking good. So that was quite impressive. And then I watched the remake of Patrick.
Oh.
Which I had not watched.
Which is that Jamie Blanks?
No, it was Mark Hartley. Not long after he did Not Quite Hollywood, actually.
Huh.
It's not bad. Especially it helps when you got someone like Charles Dance floating around in your little Ozploitation rip-off.
Yeah. Solid player.
Sharni Vinson's good as well.
Yeah.
What happened to her? Rachel Griffiths? I didn't even know she was in it. Rachel Griffiths is in it in a supporting role.
What happened to Sharni Vinson?
I don't know.
Because she was kicking some rings.
Well,
like,
this wasn't long after
Your
Next.
Your Next was the shit,
I think this released about 2 years or not. Yeah, about two and a half years or something after Your Next did. So.
Yeah, disappointing because she was really making things happen. And to me, she's one of the best. You're Next. Her character and performance in that is right up there with some of the best sort of, you know, final girls and that in slasher films, I think.
Yeah. And this one wasn't too bad. Like I wasn't expecting a whole lot, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was it probably elaborated a little more on a few things and went with some kind of brought up some sort of domestic violence sort of or stalkery sort of things that the first one probably didn't go into as much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, really well done. It, again, comes up with a pretty nifty little tone on a low budget. They use a really nice little they use this old kind of house or this old sort of mansion setting as the hospital, which works really well.
Okay.
So, yeah, thought that was pretty good. I then got heavily into some Van Damme, Adam. Heavily.
Heavily.
So obviously we got some Van Damme tonight, but on top of that, I watched Universal Soldier Regeneration, finally.
Regeneration? Is that the one?
It's the one that came back, brought it back after.
Is that Scott Adkins?
No. Scott Adkins is in the next one.
Right.
This one was
Dolph?
D- Dolphin, Jean-Claude are both in this one, but it kind of just brings it back. It throws what's his name, Andre Oleski or something like that, a UFC fighter. He came into this one as well. And it looks like it was made very cheaply. Looks like it was made in Europe. There's a lot of European actors in it.
Is it all right, though?
But it's pretty fucking good. The action's really solid. This Oleski character, I think that's his name, he can throw down.
Hell yeah.
Some really good fight scenes in there. And it touches on a few themes that perhaps some of the earlier ones didn't really kind of dig into.
Yep.
And it kind of carries over into Day of Reckoning, which I also watched.
Okay. Is that the one with Scott Adkins?
That's the one with Scott Adkins. Again, fucking good. I really liked it. That one was probably the best one. It's probably on par or better than the original, to be honest. But again, throw some neat little angles in there and take some ideas, you know, bring some cloning and shit into it. And yeah, I would recommend to check that one out.
All right.
I then watched Death Warrant, which I found out was essentially a canon picture.
Yeah.
But was released with an MGM label because it was after Canon had just gone bust. Also starring Patrick Kilpatrick.
Did he walk off the set on this one? Was he disgusted by what he saw?
I don't think he was disgusted by playing the Sandman, but he possibly should have been.
I remember Death Warrant being pretty average.
It's average, but it's passable fucking fun shit from that era. You know?
Yeah.
So I didn't mind it that much. And then finished off the Van Damme Odyssey this week with The Last Mercenary, which was on Netflix and is a French language film from a couple of years ago with JCVD.
Is it an action film? Is he the main star?
It's got action in it. He is the main star, but it's comedy. It's kind of like it's got a touch of sort of spy thrillery sort of stuff in there. But yeah, definitely going for a few laughs and mixed in with a bit of action.
And does Jean-Claude get laughs?
He got a couple of laughs. Oh, okay. A couple. Not a whole lot, but he does enough. And then, Adam, we've spoken about this a number of times, but I tied things up with Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah. You laughed, didn't you?
I fucking hope I did.
Yeah, I knew it.
Of course I did.
I knew you'd laugh.
I could not tell anybody this is a really good movie.
No, it's not. But
that didn't stop me from fucking tittering like a moron for the majority of the picture.
For large portions, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that the whole plot and everything is just ridiculous.
Oh, it's nothing we haven't seen. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's a funny premise.
And then...
I mean, it's like a human version of the Penske file.
Kind of. And I did get laughs out of William H. Macy and his...
It was good.
He's always good. double fisting and all this kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a bit funny. Look, but Cena steals the show. Cena's He's great. Just great.
I couldn't not... Like, I kept watching it thinking, where was this guy in Freelance?
Yeah.
And I realised the problem was that guy in Freelance was the dictator. They gave that goofy fucking idiot role to the dictator and expected Cena to kind of play the straight man to him and then didn't get the action right for him and stuff like that. So I take some responsibility off John's shoulders.
So you let John slide.
I'm not going to let him slide. He still chose to be in the movie and I don't know, maybe he should have spoken to someone to say, can I get a couple of laughs out of this?
Can we do something with it?
But when you watch him in that, you're like, well, this is where the guy belongs.
Yes.
Because he gets laughs with just some silly shit that I probably shouldn't have been laughing at.
Rock Hard Ron's set?
Yes.
It's fucking hilarious.
Especially when it kicked off, it launched in as Devo. He's fucking standing there with a whip and then talking about grab that cock and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, Jesus. But it comes back to Arnie, right? Cena doesn't give a shit. He'll
chugged a beer through his ass in a movie. I mean, this is exactly what you want.
And it's like, you know, we've seen this a bunch of times before. Someone thrown into this role or stuff like Trading Places and I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there's fucking tons of movies where someone's like, oh, well, you've got to pretend to be this guy because we fucking told someone this guy existed or whatever. So none of that's new, but the guy he's fucking capable of getting a laugh just by being with a bit of buffoonery.
Is The Rock Stallone?
I think he might be.
Yes.
Because he started getting, you know, he was able to get
a few laughs. We've put the pieces together.
Remember in Get Shorty when he was singing New Eight Woman enough and all that sort of stuff?
Well, he got laughs in Pain and Gain.
Got laughs in Pain and Gain, but since then it's been... I keep saying it. He's got to stop producing his own shit. He's got to let someone else take the reins and suggest to him, to Wayne,
loosen up.
We do this. It'll work. I think he's doing... His next one's an A24 movie, isn't it?
Is it?
So he's going a bit low budget and...
Christ, finally.
So hopefully that sort of stuff pans out, because I would love to see The Rock do a bit of that shit.
Yeah.
So.
But I'd also love to see The Rock in something like Copland.
Yeah.
Like where he's a beaten down.
Well, I think this was, it's going to be, this A24 one is a real life MMA fighter. The story, a real story of real life. So it's going to require some dramatic
chops.
It's not going to be an action kind of. Okay, yeah, it's not going to be Black Adam where he can say Black Adam fights Superman and doesn't fight anyone else. You can't do that, Dwayne.
Yeah, we know. Look, I feel like maybe you turned a corner.
Well, hopefully he realises that this stuff's not, you know, I know he always plays to the fan score and how much the fans love it, but quite frankly, mate, like the critical reception to your last fucking four or five movies has not been very good at all.
No.
And you're drifting, Dwayne. We need you back.
Yeah. Correct.
So, yeah, I think you're right. There's a bit of Stallone there that he needs to just kind of just loosen up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Stallone was similar, right? Stallone got into all the writing and the directing and the producing of his own shit pretty early, whereas Arnie was happy to kind of go with the flow for a while.
Well, Stallone was at his peak in that early to mid-80s period, and then Arnie slowly took over because Stallone kind of ran out of juice a little bit.
Yeah.
Rocky was at 4, Rambo was at 3. They were both...
Arnie had a string, whereas Stallone had Rocky, couple of stinkers, or, you know, Rocky and Rambo, stinkers in between, stinkers again.
Then back to Rocky and Rambo.
Fucking Staying Alive.
Stinker.
You said it.
Yeah, it's a fucking stinker.
Came back to Rocky and Rambo, suffered some negative critical reception even with them, but got some money together. He didn't necessarily have the string. Like, it wasn't always.
No,
wasn't always
he was.
Gold,
he was. But... How do I put it, Jared? Spotty.
Spotty
would be
patchy.
What I would call his career, because he never kind of put together like a string of hits.
Yeah.
Like, and then several of the big action stars of that period did so. They put together strings. Like Arnie did. Bruce Willis had a few in a row where you know, they were really well received. Sly kind of. He came and went.
Yeah. He was always hot as an actor, but the box office returns
weren't
kind of went up and down a little bit at times.
Even something like Cliffhanger, which was a hit.
Yeah.
But it.
Whereas Arnie bounced to Arnie had a stretch where it was basically fucking Terminator to Predator to Commando to Twins, and really kind of
to T2 to True Lies.
Yeah.
You know, there was a string of some real gems in there. You know, like what Arnie didn't have that Sly had was critical love. You know. Sly's out of the gate, Rocky was best picture.
Yes.
You know, like so.
Yes. So, but Sly also didn't have that at times either.
But what Sly wanted was that.
Yes, what Sly was always chasing.
Whereas I don't think Arnie ever thought about that because he knew he wasn't a good enough actor for that.
He was just chasing the Hollywood star sort of.
Yeah, and he found it for sure.
That also reminded me, that was the last thing I watched, but it also reminded me we've got to do an episode on like Hall of Fame character names. Because I know we've got a man tonight who had a classic in Chance Boudreau, but I could not stop laughing when I was reminded that Sly's name in Oscar was Snaps Provolone.
Sounds like a fucking meat, like a deli meat. Yeah.
Provolone's a fucking cheese. Snaps Provolone. Didn't he also have, someone Carboni.
Yeah. Someone.
He had a couple of real shockers.
Yeah, some fucking shockers.
Obviously had Marion Cabretti as well.
And Cabretti, but also what I still think Van Damme had Max Tangles Walker.
Max Walker, that's right.
Which, love the name. I mean, obviously for us Aussies, it holds a bit more fucking weight.
You cannot look at that and get Max Walker and not laugh and nickname him Tangles for the rest of the movie. It's just not possible.
And talk about how in a baby's arm holding an apple.
yeah. Ready? If Max Walker comes within 10 feet of this fucking shoot door, shoot him.
Oh, is it? You were screaming about an axe. An axe? Oh, no, no, Max.
Yeah. Cannot detach those two things.
Okay, so that's everything for you?
Yep, that was it.
All right, let's take a break. And here's the trailer for 1989's Cyborg.
Welcome to the world of the not-too-distant future.
Get going! Go!
A brutal gang is reshaping the world into their own vision of hell. And only one man can stop them. Jean-Claude Van Damme is leading the battle between good and evil.
Take them out.
As it's never been fought before. He's on a desperate mission to rescue a cyborg who holds the secret for saving the world.
Why did you help me?
I don't want to see you die.
From the dust of destruction rises the warrior of a new age.
Say goodbye, my friend.
Jean-Claude Van Damme has become the first hero of the 21st century. Cyborg.
Cyborg from 1989, written and directed by Albert Pyun, who directed The Sword and the Sorcerer, Jared, which I believe you recently saw.
Good movie.
When you're
good
on movie. Your sword and sandal kick.
Sword and sandals. I'm still on there. I'm just struggling to find anything else to watch.
Of course, it's produced by Menem Golan and Yoram Globus, the Go-Go Boys from Canon Pictures. They produce Cobra, Stallone film Cobra. It stars Jean-Claude Van Damme as Gibson Rickenbacker.
That would be on the list when we put this episode together.
I did not realise that was his name. When you mentioned it to me, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's got Deborah Richter as Natty Simmons, Vincent Cline as Fender Tremolo, and Alex Daniels as Marshall Stratt. The budget was $500,000, and the box office was $10 million worldwide.
Mm. Did you get the theme with the names there, Adam?
Yeah, I think that's got something to do
Fender
with fucking...
Tremolo,
yeah, it's
Marshall
got to do
Stratt.
With guitars. Fucking Jesus Christ.
Brands of guitars and amps.
Ah, oh, for God's sake, Albert. Well played. here's a piece of trivia for you, Jared. Ralph Moller had such a thick German accent that all of his dialogue had to be dubbed. Shit.
There was also a bit of trivia to say Vincent Cline's did too, wasn't it? Because they said he had quite a high-pitched voice.
What the fuck? You're just Ralph Moller has like two lines.
Yeah.
Just let him say it. I mean, you're wasting money on fucking people dubbing these guys.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Just let him say it. I think Rafe says two lines max, I think. Or maybe more, maybe slightly more, but not much. All right, Jared. Whew, this was a slog. Like
an 80-something minutes.
It's cheap as chips.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, it introduces us to Van Damme. We kind of see his capabilities, you know. Mm-hmm. We can see his fighting stuff and his spin kicks and everything. That's on display, which is good. Production design is actually pretty decent. Mm. It actually does – they do some good things to actually give it that kind of the world is destroyed sort of look.
That said, if the tale is true that these were disused costumes from the Never Made Masters of the Universe sequel
– something was going on
something,
there.
I'm glad they never made it because it would have been fucking terrible.
It has a Mad Max vibe.
Yep.
Sorry, side note, did you just recently hear that there's a sequence in Furiosa that's 15 minutes long? An action sequence that's 15 minutes long took 78 days to film.
Doesn't surprise me.
I was like, fuck, George, you're ruining everyone's fucking life again, aren't you?
He hasn't learned a thing. But we don't want him to.
Yeah. I want him to be fucking up people's lives his entire career.
Yeah. It's people just getting stretched out daily.
Yeah, he's like, just thanks, give me George. A few more.
Yeah. one soldier in, one soldier out, basically.
The acting, dialogue, plot, action, it's all lacking.
Yeah.
Money's an issue, clearly, but talent's also an issue. My apologies, the talent is an issue. And okay. It's more of an oddity for Van Damme. Yeah. Rather than just a race out and see it type of thing. So no. I gave it 1.5.
1.5?
Yeah, 1.5. Okay.
So I would agree with most of that, except I think Albert Pyun actually does squeeze a little bit out in certain scenes.
Oh, look, there's I'm not shitting on Pyun because I've actually got him in my likes.
Yeah, there's particular scenes where he drags a little bit out of it that it's probably better than you could expect. It's like you said, the story and everything, it's got a bit of Mad Max, a touch of fucking Escape from New York, Terminator. Like, you can see it's got all these influences on it, but it's just very bare bones. And the budget does hurt it, and I think that hurts it in the set pieces, where I agree with what you said about how it doesn't do a bad job of building a little bit of a world. But when you get to the set pieces, all the sets look really bland for that. Van Damme's okay, but there was too many times I was laughing at costumes and things that were going on and whatnot. I think, yeah, I'll give Van Damme a bit of credit. You could see there was potential there. Overall, I think Pyun helps to drag a little bit more out of it than it's probably worth, and I ended up with a 2.
2, okay. Straight out of the gate, I said it at the start, production design is okay.
Yeah.
It's all shot on location.
Yep.
Doesn't look like there's a lot of sets. They seem to have used disused buildings and shit around the place, which is a smart move.
Yeah. And so works a few times.
Yes, yes. It's effective to go that way.
I think things like the last sequence, I think the thing where he was strung up and sort of hung on the mast of the boat.
Well, like put it this way, Jared. I will say this. I think the last sequence is actually where a lot of the money went.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised because it looks pretty good.
Yeah, and it's choreographed 10 times better than the other ones.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think stuff like where they kind of escape initially and sort of the night sequence where it's in like the little market type setup, that stuff all looks fine for a low budget movie of this kind of ilk.
Yes, agreed. And it looks pretty good for what it costs. And now I'm not saying that Albert Pyun is fucking Steven Spielberg, because he's not.
No.
But I think he does a decent job with what he actually has.
Yeah.
Which is not much, let's be honest. There's not a lot there.
No.
And I think there are a couple of moments and a couple of shots where I was like, shit, that was pretty good.
Yeah. I've developed an appreciation for the guy, I must say. I have bagged him a couple of times, probably harsh of me, but I've seen a few of his things where it looks like the guy never got an opportunity to work with a budget, but he managed to drag some shit out of that. He managed to get some good work into some of these movies.
It would have been interesting to see what someone like that could do with even a lower budget Hollywood film. Like, you know, where you get $10 million to work with.
Because we know that, you know, the reported budget that he had from Canon was probably fucking pulled out from under him.
Yeah, we're staving off bankruptcy. We need half your money. See,
the poor guy seemed to have a history of working on a fucking shoestring, getting the money pulled out of him, then get kicked out of the editing room or producers throwing their weight around. It's like, well, fuck. Just let the guy cook. Let him go.
Look, unfortunately, his ideas for this film as some sort of rock opera were fucking missed.
Yeah,
guided.
Look, I don't think that was going to work. It would have been interesting to see some of the black and white touches to it. I think that could
have worked. Yeah, that could have been interesting. But I believe Van Damme and Sheldon Lettich took over the editing room. Yeah, it fucking doesn't look good when you get kicked out of the editing room by a bloke who's made one movie.
Correct.
And you know what? Van Damme probably actually kicked Pulled out of the fucking editing room.
Towed him up a date on the way out.
Fly kicked him out of the editing room. There's a really cool shot of when the girl, is it Natty yet? Natty is walking through the sort of the second level of the abandoned kind of building.
Mm.
When Van Damme tells her to stay put and she doesn't. And you just behind her, you see two guys kind of like rappelling down from above.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really cool shot. Like it was a really nice shot because it kind of captures them as they come in. So, you know, props to Albert for that.
Yeah. He's getting more out of it than he's probably fucking should have.
And that sequence ends with a reasonable blue where Van Damme produces a knife in his boot and all that sort of shit.
Mm.
It's not great, but it's passable for this film.
Yeah. Like going earlier back, there wasn't a hell of a lot I liked about Fender. He did have a look to him initially when it was kind of kept to a minimum, especially the eyes, kind of, you know, using the eyes.
But as soon as he opened his mouth, I was fuck, shut up.
Well, what if he had maintained the high-pitched voice that he apparently had before they redubbed it all?
I would have rather that.
He reminded me of
look, at least he would have been different.
Every time he opened his mouth, it reminded me of fucking Cobra, where the bad guy's talking in that.
Yes.
And he's kind of, they overdo the kind of the deep voice, even though that actor does actually have one. But early on, couple of little touches like Fender having a bloke offer up his sleeve to wipe the fucking blood off the knife and stuff. I was kind of like, okay, well, we're getting those nice, what does Gibbo like to call them? The fucking villain qualifiers?
Or the
hero qualifiers? Yeah. That was a nice one.
Yeah, that was a decent touch.
I thought that was pretty good. I'm going to actually give the stop motion a brief like. There's portions to it that are, it's a real fucking rollercoaster in that scene.
There's one particular shot where the fucking entire background changes colour.
I know.
I was like, what the hell?
I did mention that. I've got to mention of that. I'm still saying something positive about it. But when they actually go to the stop motion part of it,
yes,
it doesn't look too bad. Especially for a micro budget.
Oh, fucking hell.
Albert was probably moving the fucking thing himself.
I know, he would have been. But yes, there are some problems with that, but I agree, that doesn't look that bad.
Yeah.
For 1989. I mean,
it's fucking canon. We know it's cheap. We know Albert was told if you want some stop motion, you're going to find the cheapest motherfucker on the market.
Can I hire fucking Phil Tippett? No, you can't.
Yeah, he takes that to the office and gets fucking laughed out. Van Damme, can you kick him out of here again, please?
I've spoken to Phil Tippett. He asked me who the fuck I was, why I was ringing him.
Yeah. And I think that stuff looks okay. Even the face looks all right, aside from the fact that it doesn't look like the actress.
Yeah, I know. Holy shit, guys. Come on. You can do better than that.
Jesus. Possibly. Possibly. Yeah. Do we have to go back to the Bruce Lee, you know, the Bruce exploitation movies and cut out a picture of her face and stick it on a mirror or something? Like,
now, look, I'm going to give this, I'm going to fucking give the plot some faint praise because, quite frankly, I was actually taken aback by this. I don't know why, because it's the most fucking simple thing you could possibly have worked out. I was like, oh, shit, you got me there. The fact that the young girl that was in his flashback is now grown up and basically Fender's lady, I assumed.
Yeah, well, she was in the crew.
I liked that idea that she had become a pirate.
Yeah.
Even though, fucking hell, what am I talking about?
No, I had the same thing. I saw that and I said, nice wrinkle.
I was like, but also it took so long to get to those flashbacks, like, making any sense.
I was like,
oh, fuck you.
Yeah. You know why I think it works is because the story for the rest of it is so fucking bare.
You don't expect
it to wrinkle. Oh, you don't expect him to zig.
You just expect him to continue to zag.
Well, I didn't expect him to do anything but walk in a straight line. It was like a sobriety test. It's fucking one foot in front of the other.
They fucking failed it, yet they hadn't been drinking. Jesus Christ.
No, I think it was so... And look, I don't mind that for this sort of movie. Like, you knew what it was going to be, and you're there to see Van Damme kick some fucking... Kick some tail.
But see, if you wanted to wrinkle that one just a little bit more.
You're asking a lot.
You're asking a lot for Albert and Co. But you could have wrinkled it slightly with having her as being against what they were doing. You know, even if you just threw it in one sequence.
Yeah, but I liked that. I liked that she wasn't.
She was a part
because it was like she'd. That was her fucking resentment towards Van Damme. Basically, she fucking blamed him.
I cannot wait.
I mean, I didn't put the barbed wire in your hand.
Yeah, fuck! I was tied up.
I think she decided. Remember, she's talking about I'm going to be a slinger. I think she decided that she wasn't going to be because they had shit haircuts.
I know. Oh, God, I'll get to that. Holy shit. That is the worst fucking rug in movie history.
It's up there. It's up there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude. Okay, okay. There's a really cool shot of Van Damme doing the splits above Ralph Moeller in the sewer.
Yes.
Awesome shot. Yeah. Really well, not really well done.
This is where I think Pyun deserves some credit because he shoots it to a point where you don't expect that's what's going to happen. You're kind of just expecting, oh yeah.
And I like you stay close on Van Damme and it looks like he's backed up against the wall waiting. Yeah,
and you're just like, oh well, he's waiting. Moller's going to find him and they're going to throw down.
Yeah.
But then it shows you what it's doing. There's one particular shot where you see it. And you're like, well, there's no way he couldn't have seen you, but. If we take that little shot out of it, it's nifty.
Well, you know, look up, Rafe.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't see over his fucking perm.
Well, he's too busy tripping over his lines. Jesus Christ.
What lines?
Oh, yeah.
He's tripping over.
I've got to... I gotta get to admit the dislikes about him where I wanted to throttle the cunt. Like, I'm not joking. Yeah. I was fucking ropeable as I watched it. Okay, the final fight is where the money is.
Yeah, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it looks all right. It's better choreographed.
A couple of big dislikes, but it looks solid. The fucking rain, the blue sort of lighting to it.
I like it.
It looks fucking good.
The fact that there's like a car in the mix that you kind of use as a weapon.
And the wind and storm and shit.
Yeah. I like that. It looked decently done, whereas I feel like the rest of the movie, after they'd shot that scene, they were like, shit, we've only got like 200K left.
Yeah. And then fucking the Go-Go Boys turned up and said, yeah, you got 50K left. We've already allocated 150 to Chuck Norris and somebody else.
No, as I said, they were saving off creditors. I can find any dollar they can get their hands on.
200? Yeah, I said 50. What about the rest of it? There was no rest of it.
That is it, mate. That's
it's
it
like
for
the trillion-dollar bill. The budget's like the trillion-dollar bill.
Exactly. What?
Give what back?
That was my last like.
Yeah. I had a couple more in. I think there was one initially. I think it's in the same sequence where you said Natty has. There's that shot with the guy scaling behind her.
Mm.
It's around that part, but there's one where Van Damme and this other bloke with a machete. There's a build up to them fucking writing where they're screeching at each other and charging down a bridge.
Yes.
I looked at that and I said, looking at what you had to work with. Not a bad use of what you had.
Yeah. Okay.
It actually kind of builds up a little bit to a reasonable blue.
Yeah.
Which there isn't too many of in the movie, to be honest.
No.
So I had to give that a little bit of credit. The rest of them I think are things that I should probably mention in the dislikes because they were things that made me fucking laugh.
Okay.
Heartily.
Okay. Okay.
Can I segue with the very fucking opening of the movie? In the dislikes.
Is that the guy giving us the reasons?
I love the fucking carnage
or whatever the hell he's going on about.
I laughed and laughed. I had to fucking pause the movie because I was laughing at. Yeah, he starts with, it starts with the collapse of civilization, anarchy, genocide, starvation. And then he drops one of the fucking funniest lines I've ever heard in a movie. He says, then when it seems things couldn't get worse, the plague. I just fucking burst out laughing. I'm like, you've just talked about the collapse of fucking civilization. It's the fucking plague.
Yeah.
The plague's the real kicker. That's the real kick in the balls.
If it couldn't get any worse.
It sounds like the plague's just fucking joined the queue at this point.
The flu.
Pretty much.
We've all got the flu as well.
Well, you know, if you're dealing with the collapse of civilization, anarchy, genocide, starvation, it seems like if someone got the plague, you'd just be more inclined to say, well, fuck it, we'll drop you over here.
Well, I might be allowed to lay down and rest. Fuck.
Well, I've got the plague. Well, I haven't fucking eaten in a month. Yeah, shut up.
I'm in the middle of starvation, motherfucker, so shut up.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get my fucking medication since civilization collapsed, so shut up. We're all dealing with things here.
Oh, my God, yeah. Do your fucking story walking, pal.
Yeah, lock yourself in your room and shut the fuck up.
All right, Albert reverts to quite a bit of slow-mo.
Yeah.
In an effort to kind of pad out run times, I suggest.
I felt like that was very nice.
He also extends the runtime by having Jean-Claude Van Damme attached to a fucking pirate ship and have flashbacks and kick the pirate ship fucking sail for about 5 minutes.
Well, Adam, when your budget's been slashed, you do what you can.
I know.
When your wig budget's been fucking cut in half.
What's the point? You're boring me, Albert.
Jesus. No, I think he did his
move
best.
Move forward, mate.
This joins a long line of classic movies where, you know, when civilization's falling apart, we resort to mesh singers.
I was going to say, at least I'm glad I can work out who the villains are by the fucking chainmail they seem to be wearing.
At least this one was actual chain. Like, the Ultimate Warriors joint, it was fucking, it was just a cotton.
And then you kind of went to Bennett in Commando, which was, you know, it was a freshly woven sort of thing.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I know, that shit, I fucking hate that stuff. I get that off.
Yeah, mix it up. I mean, if you can afford chain, you can afford a whole shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And just because some prick in fucking Mad Max wore it, you know, I mean, George Miller was trying to kill people. They were doing whatever it took to survive.
I think that was a legitimate piece of armour that someone felt like this is going to stop something from, you know, this is when I go flying off this car, a tree's not going to impale me because I've got my chainmail vest
exactly.
on.
They were using it for fucking protection. You guys are using it to take the piss. It's not really action-packed.
No.
For an action film, it doesn't really, because of the money and the, you know, you're working with very little, you don't have time for the fights to be sort of built up and have a bit of sort of depth, like punching each other for periods.
No.
So the fights are over really quickly.
Yeah.
And then the shootouts, well, fuck. Van Damme, there is no gunfire from that gun.
No. There's also very early on when the very first introduction to JCVD, if you're going to show him, you know, knocking someone out with one kick, make sure it looks like the kick actually connects.
Yeah, correct.
Because there's one that it misses by a fucking mile. I actually paused it and said to my kids, have a look at this. Played it back to them. And I said, you have a look and see if you reckon this kick connects. And they both started fucking giggling.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
So from You're an action standpoint, yeah, you are better. Well, Jean-Claude kicked the bloke in the face. I mean, he took some guy's eye out.
Yeah, yeah. He did.
He was sued.
He was sued.
So why aren't you taking everyone's fucking eye out?
Maybe he was gun shy after that.
perhaps, yeah.
Yeah.
So for an action film, she's a bit light on action.
Yes, definitely.
And it really only ramps up in that final sequence, which is only about 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
So she's just touch boring.
Yeah.
Jared?
Now, you mentioned, I did say there was shades of light and dark with the stop motion.
Yeah.
You mentioned exactly what I was like, we get shots of Pearl.
And then it cuts to her and it's fucking, the background's now black.
But it cuts to her, like that shot where she says, I'm a cyborg. It's like, well, that's a noticeably different background to what you were just standing on. Your hair looks different. Like, everything's fucking different. We've got to cover our tracks better than this, don't we?
But also, you're working with a very small budget. Your version of a cyborg should not showcase or require, in my opinion, stop motion.
Well,
you're spending money on shit you don't need. What you need is she needs to have, you know, certain traits, or, you know, she moves mechanically, or
yeah.
And she gets hit, and we see a little bit of her
raised
face.
In the fucking battle.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, there's a bit of metal under
your skin.
Yeah,
there's a bit of metal under your skin.
Yeah.
Which,
because it seems, you know, like this, that would have taken a bit of cash that needed to be spent
elsewhere,
in other places.
On actors, for instance, Jared.
Makeup and wigs.
Because, fuck, the acting is, oh, even Van Damme's not very good. I mean, there are guys that I wouldn't even consider them actors.
No.
Like,
well,
there's a couple who...
Well, Fender wasn't an actor. He was a fucking surfer.
You hired a surfer to play the villain.
You know, that's Warchild from Point Break.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Hell.
Yes. So I believe the story was that Albert saw him surfing.
In Point Break?
Saw him surfing and just thought he's got a look, I think he's right.
He did have a look, yeah. He had a very steely look.
Yep, yep.
I would have used Ralph Moeller.
Would you?
No, I wouldn't. Fuck, what am I saying? Because he became the villain in Best of the Best 2, and it was not a pleasant experience for anyone.
And honestly, when Ralph turned up, because I'd seen him on the cast list, and I couldn't. I was like, okay, well, where's he going to pop up? Again, I fucking burst out laughing. He looked like Dee Snider. But if Dee Snider had fucking mixed up his cocaine and his creatine.
He looked like Dee Snider by way of Ultimate Warrior. Holy shit. Can I ask a question, though? Ralph Moeller, look, sure he's a lovely bloke, but not an actor. Not a good actor.
Well, I think he's gotten better.
He has, but...
If you asked him to do this now, he'd do it.
He'd be 10 times better. But what I'm saying is, in something like Gladiator he works
well.
He can
handle Gladiator.
But is that because Ridley Scott's going, Rafe, fuck!
Do it again!
Holy shit, we're lucky we've got $100 million, Rafe, you fucking waste of space.
Rafe, we're going to be here till tomorrow.
And Russell's going, Rafe, fuck me, let's get on with it.
Russell's throwing phones at him. I guess that would have a way of motivating him.
Yeah. Russell's fucking remonstrating in Ridley's face, going, this guy, you need to get rid of him.
Yeah. Look, Rafe is in the category with all of these guys, with the Arnies and the Dolphs and that. Like, obviously, the more you do it, you learn a few things.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't call him an actor. You don't get him.
What
for
would you
a
call
dramatic...
him?
Dramatic. Well,
because
okay,
he's not
well,
a
he's an actor. He's an actor. But he's got a
look and something you
he's
need.
He's got a certain set of skills. Adam. He's if you need a heavy who can throw a couple of lines, well, Rafe can do that shit now.
Yeah, yeah.
At this time, he was still learning how to do that. He was still on his trade certificate.
He was learning to fucking unscramble the language barrier.
He's still on his trade certificate at this time.
True.
At the moment, he's still not a craftsman, but he can build you a cottage if you need it.
He put together a birdhouse and fucking Albert went, holy shit, we need to get this guy. Look. Get rid of his birdhouse and fucking use someone else's.
Yeah, yeah. And fire the person that's putting the wigs on these people.
Oh, yeah.
Jean-Claude's is all-timer. It's a shocker. It doesn't even look like his arm straight.
He's also got a ponytail.
Mate, I went to Supernova a couple of weekends ago and I saw wigs that look miles better than that from people that are doing it at home by themselves with no money.
Well, but that's what these guys would have been doing. Like, come on.
But it wasn't on straight. Yeah. He looked like he wandered in from the set of, like, the local theatre production of The Three Musketeers or something.
Yeah,
like, he looked
fucking awful. And the decision to go down that route with a fucking different hairdo, as if to show like a time mix.
Yeah, I get why you're going for it.
But to give him, let him grow his fucking hair
for
a week.
Well, I say you see that he comes out of not a trailer. He didn't have a trailer. So he walks from point A to point B on the dilapidated, the bombed out building that you're shooting in. And you see it and you say, we just need to put a scroll on the screen that says 7 years ago.
Or, Jared, you tell Van Damme when you hire him, I just want you to grow your hair a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we shoot those sequences at the start.
Yeah.
Then we cut his hair high and tight.
I was going to say, can I ask a question? I didn't see anybody at those night markets giving high and tight cuts.
I know. Where's the fucking barber? What kind of racket's he running?
Yeah. We've got the plague to worry about. Civilization's broken down, as we know.
If you're dealing with the plague, you're a barber, you are not cutting people's
hair. It's like fucking bouts of anarchy. who's giving you a high and tight?
You didn't cut your own fucking hair. I can only assume because everyone's got a blade the size of their arm.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what it should look like. I was reading a little article the other day about, you know, in zombie movies, one of the things we overlook
is that everybody's fucking shaving and cutting their hair constantly.
Yeah, yeah. Teeth, you can't fucking brush your teeth when you can't get toothpaste chipped in.
Yeah. We're forgetting that fucking basic personal hygiene goes out the window.
There had been clippers on his hair recently.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we've talked about would you say that hair was worse than Chance Boudreau?
Yes. Because Chance Boudreau's looked like a bad haircut, but it looked real.
Well, it was greasy, at least, as I know that much.
That is definitely worse than Chance Boudreau.
Now,
it looked shocking.
I'm going to come to the one of the bits that I was kind of confused by.
Yeah.
When he meets Natty. She basically just fucking rips him a new asshole about what a cat he is and the fact that he's not going to fucking help or find his cyborg and calls him a jerk and then just fucking, for no apparent reason.
Says, I'm coming with you. You can't stop me. You
know, well, why is she giving him some shit? He barely even knows him. Next thing you know, she's following him.
Adam, there's a lot of stresses in this world. We've already spoken about it. Your behaviour might be a little erratic.
Fuck, I've got the plague. I'm coming with you.
Yeah. I'm sorry I yelled at you. My whole family had just caught the plague. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm on the move. Come on.
Will you forgive me?
But she fucking berates him hard.
Yeah,
but
she does.
Gives him
she
the
really
full,
gives it to him.
To both barrels for no reason other than he walked past.
Yeah. You just happened to be the
and
person
she goes,
to walk past.
I'm trying to save a cyborg's life. And he's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jean-Claude.
Well, I had one big thing that I want you to explain to me, like a really big one.
Because I've got a big one too.
So this was the biggest thing in the early going where I was just like, what's going on? I couldn't fucking work through this.
Couldn't fathom it.
Couldn't work through it. What's the point of taking a boat if people on foot can beat you to the location?
Well, I don't know. Is it sort of like a moving, I don't know, headquarters? Fuck.
Because they go out of their way to get a boat.
Yes.
And then he makes it go, oh, well, I'm assuming it's a gag. I don't even like the water. But then they putter off on their boat and Van Damme says, I know a shortcut. And they proceed to take
a shortcut
on foot with time to berate each other and stop at the night markets. And they still get to the point where she whips the binoculars
out. And there's the boat coming chugging along. What? Maybe these guys stopped to rape and pillage a village or
something. Something like that. Maybe Moller, they had to work out Moller weighing the fucking thing down. We have to throw him overboard. He's got to walk. You can meet us there.
Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I couldn't put that together.
Look,
I was just sort of like, if you're going to do that,
questions,
Jared. If that's what's going on, you're going to be slightly behind.
Yes,
I would have thought.
I've got bigger questions.
Okay,
why does I have never heard so much fucking screaming in my life in a movie?
Right, correct.
Fender. I mean, every single time they're like,
yeah.
But the worst one, there was one. Like when Rafe Moller, and again, maybe this is what he got why everything was dubbed, but Van Damme grabs Natty because she's unconscious and he pulls her down into the sewer system. And Rafe Moller comes charging down, goes, he reaches the fucking sewer pipe, stops for a second, goes, then fucking goes down into the sewer pipe to the tune of, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Albert, tell these people to stop screaming. I know you're they're meant to be savages.
Yeah.
But shit, I need something else.
Yeah.
Something. And then Van Damme and
Fender
have the most unbelievable, like, I've never heard so many screams.
Oh, Fender, especially towards the end of that fight, just did not stop.
And he keeps getting he's this look on his roaring. Face like, shit, fucking brick.
Yeah, I did need I needed earplugs by the end of it. That's for sure.
Oh,
I should have just put the subtitles on. So yeah. I could see all the voices moving. But there was only one in every fucking 10 lines that actually said a word that wasn't, you know, just screaming.
Okay. Natty has a fight with one of the female villains.
Yep.
And using a knife like a butter knife cuts her fucking hand off. I was like, Albert, there's such a thing as a bone, mate. It's got to get through.
Yeah. I didn't have so much problem. I didn't have any
issue.
You were okay with that?
Yeah.
You gave me what I want, Albert. You gave me exactly what I'm here for. I think because the rest of the fight scenes were a little light. I could have done with a few more heads getting cut off through the.
I would like to have seen a few heads, like, you know, really get kicked. You know, like really, kind of give us a bit of violence. There wasn't a lot of that.
Well, there was a bit of early on. It looked like there was actually going to be a bit of, you know, where Fender's taking innocent people and just fucking
killing them.
I thought, okay, well, we're going to push into a bit of that in the fight scenes. We might get a bit of blood and a bit of gore and stuff.
Well, they just didn't have the cabbage for that. So Well,
I learned that pretty quickly.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So
they cut that guy's head off at one point.
We covered it up with lots of, yeah!
I'll tell you what, this will make it more frenetic.
Yeah.
Scream at each other.
Yeah, the fight scenes are a little light in general. There was actually only one that I recalled. Well, there was a couple of moments, but there was one really cool moment where the guy gets knocked off the top of the building and they shoot it from the bottom.
Yes, and he falls, and he fucking hits falls one wall the and then just...
Yeah, that looked fucking cool. That was cool. All right. Yeah. Again, stunt budget gone after that.
Oh, yeah, that's the end of that. That's the end of that.
Albert had to pick his spots.
I know. And look, Albert doesn't do too bad on that front. He tries to infuse it with something decent.
Yes.
But the guy is pushing shit uphill. I mean, talk about it. He's pushing like a fucking cart of shit uphill. He is. Because he's clearly not getting backed by anything to help him.
Yeah.
It seems a bit weird, and I know this would destroy the movie, but Jean-Claude Van Damme has killed half your guys. He has been an enormous pain in the ass. Rather than hanging him from a ship's mast and leaving him there, you just kill the bloke, don't you?
Yeah, classic.
Like you kill
action movie shit. Classic movie shit where, yeah.
And then we are subjected to 5 minutes of him getting off it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with that.
Except 5 minutes of that wig.
Oh, yeah, we did get a few flashes to his wig.
Yes.
And the last one for me is... I love the fact that it ends with, well, actually, he was the cure. So Jean-Claude Van Damme fly kicks fucking nuclear holocaust, does he?
He fly kicks the plague out of existence.
Holy shit.
I mean, when you start with that little rant that leads to the plague and you finish with that.
It's not well handled.
It's not a good way to bookend your movie.
Yeah, the bookends are not good. I would have got rid of that shit.
Yeah, I don't think that was strong.
We needed something to, I mean, I assume the idea was that they were going off to continue to help others.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Have I looked into it too closely?
Jean-Claude was on his way to punch Anakix right in the balls.
He was wanting to get hold of starvation and kick the shit out of it.
Yeah, he was going to build civilization back up, just punch by punch.
Yeah, you had to break a few eggs, Jerry, to make an omelet. And Jean-Claude was going to break a few necks to rebuild society.
Yeah.
That was it for me. I assume that's probably your best take on the material.
That was pretty much all of it. It was pretty thin overall, so there was...
Yeah,
it was kind of very much in the set pieces that you were looking for the good and copping a bit of the bad.
Yeah, exactly. But look, that was 1989 Cyborg. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Podomatic, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Send us an email at thrillme@iinet.net.au. We're on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia, Podomatic at thrillme.podomatic.com, and Instagram at Thrill Me Podcast AU. Keep an eye on the Facebook page for details of the next movie that we cover. But until then, take it easy and we'll catch you all later. Cheers.
Find the podcast at Podomatic or on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review. Like us on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia or contact us at thrillme, all one word, all lowercase, at iinet.net.au.